Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and thank you for tuning in to our Thursday night programming of Totally Driven Radio. Heh, but why wouldn't you tune into the greatest show heard all around the world?
Driven Radio, Bay Ragney here, and it's time to get driven, people. It's Totally Driven Thursday, and we're going to do just that like we do every Thursday night. I got a, in case you didn't know, we are actually technically on a little vacation. We took the month off from our live show on Thursdays, so this is actually a pre-taped show, and it is Thursday. It's just in the afternoon, and I'm getting this all together for you. The show is still totally driven. The show is still entertaining, and it's still fun, and I know you're still tuning in. And I have two friends here with me tonight. I have one guest is a returning guest. And actually, I think it's either his third or fourth appearance. And this dude, I love talking with this guy. It's always a great conversation, whether it's just talking everyday life or things or music or it doesn't matter. This conversation is always good. And so is the music. His name is Ed Roman. He's from Canada. And he's a mixture of a little, he's a little bit of folk, he's a little bit of country, he's a little bit of rock and roll, and he's not Donnie and Marie, he's Ed Roman. But you got to check him out. Check out our interview, which actually was coming up in a few minutes. And he's got some new music out there, he's got a new album out there called Red Omen, so we're going to play some of that. And then after that, we have a new friend making his Totally Driven Radio debut. Former professional wrestler, reality star from the show American Digger, also known as Savage Family Diggers. And also, he's now a heavy metal singer. Mr. Heavy Metal himself, Rick Savage, is a guest on tonight's show. And he's got his first single out there. He did a cover version of the classic Born to Be Wild, and he made it Rick Savage style. So it's really cool. Check it out. There's also a video for that. You can see that out on there on YouTube. So look that up, turn it up, and yeah, so let's do this. But first, got to pay the bills. I got two commercial breaks. They're real short. I'm going to take the first one right now, come back on the flip side, and we're going to talk to Ed Roman. Don't go away.
For $5 today, you can buy a wealth of things. Gas for your car, rent a movie for the family, a few slices of pizza. $5 still takes you a long ways. But did you know that $5 can buy your child a bag of heroin on the streets? That's right. For only $5, your son or daughter can buy some of the cheapest and purest dope in the country. Be aware of the lies. Be aware of the stealing. Be aware that's all it takes to kill your child. $5. This message was brought to you by Casey's Cause, a group of parents located in southern Chester County out to save your child's life. Come join us today at www.caseyscause.com. And remember, $5 is all it takes. Casey's Cause, www.caseyscause.com.
Looking for that perfect gift for your girlfriend? Then look no further than Teddy Scares. Teddy Scares are available in a variety of styles, sizes, and prices for all your shopping needs. Teddy Scares are a mix of cute and creepy to make a great gift for almost any age. Board up your windows, lock your doors, and log on to TeddyScares.com. And be sure to become our friends at Facebook.com/TeddyScares.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Did you ever collect comics? Do you think your children might like reading comic books? Do you even know they still print real, paper, non-digital comic books? Well, then visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back-issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest. Part of the movie Unbreakable is filmed in our store. We are open 7 days a week. Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our wacky stores page on Facebook.
Are you looking for a mortgage for that new home? Do you want to refinance to a lower rate, obtain cash out, or consolidation? If so, call Anthony Muscarella of Advisors Mortgage Group. Advisors Mortgage Group is a mortgage banker and loan our own money to first lien mortgage loans. We have built a platform for a seamless and stress-free mortgage process, which remains our number one goal for all of our customers. We understand that success cannot be obtained without teamwork and communication, two of our most important strengths. If you're looking to apply for a loan or simply have some questions, please don't hesitate to give Anthony Muscarella a call at 732-749-3333, extension 12, who, by the way, has been recognized by Mortgage Executive Magazine as being one of the top 1% of originators in America. That number again, call Anthony Muscarella at 732-749-3333, extension 12, where we tailor our loans to meet your needs. Advisors Mortgage Group is an equal housing opportunity lender licensed by the New Jersey Department of Banking and Insurance. Branch NMLS number 173453. Loan officer NMLS number 111400.
All right, here you go. We're back. See, it wasn't that long, was it?
I told you it was only a few minutes.
And here he is, without further ado,
Mr. Ed Roman.
How you doing, Ed?
Good. How are you?
Good.
I'm all ready to go, man. I'm happy to do the show, and thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It's always a pleasure having you on. Always have fun.
Thank
and,
you.
And I'm a little perturbed. I'm going through the bio, and it says you played Philly. Hello? Like, where was I? When was this?
Well, the unfortunate thing was I was coming back from a bunch of dates in New York, and the last night in New York, I got a message from Stover telling me that the club owner had passed away. And the Philly gig actually got canned. But I said to my wife, I said, come on, let's just go anyway and check out Philly, see what it's all about, and do it, because we got the room and we'll hang out for the night. So, you know, we weren't there more than 24 hours and we were already back on the road to Canada again. But had that gig come through, you probably would have known, and I would have been there. I would have messaged you or something for sure.
Wow. What was the club, you remember?
I'm trying to remember now. It was off of Chestnut, and it was headed down towards the T's down there. Oh, I'm trying to remember the name of the joint again. It'll come to me.
Was it the Tin Angel?
No, it's a place that's on, it's on a corner, it's kind of a blue and white building, it's right in the heart of the old part of town, like where the old jam nights and open mic nights
right.
And that strip, Second Street, maybe it's Second, but what the hell was the name of the club again? I'd have to go back and, because it was so fuzzy and everything happening, it was like, what just happened? It was so terrible.
Right.
And I'm like, God, man, you know. I even went to the club, knocked on the door to see if anybody was there, but they had the sign, death in the family, closed until further notice
kind
of thing. And Stover was going to rebook the gig, but maybe with that tragedy something else happened, so.
Right. Wow. Huh. And any plans to get back out to the East Coast anytime soon, or?
Well, that's just it. With the release of the new record, I'm working with a new agent, Kevin Ball, as well as Michael Stover. Kevin's doing my booking. And, yeah, we're planning on trying to do the New York, Pennsylvania, Philly, Boston kind of a thing in the late summer or July, August, like I did last year. So when I know, then I'm going to let you know. And then maybe we could hook up and actually do something in Philly and maybe even do something live out of the studio with my acoustic or something.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm actually something I've been contemplating for a long time. and I'm just finally just saying, you know what, I'm going forward with it. And that's looking to start promoting shows because, you know, I've been doing this for almost 4 years now. I've met so many incredible people like yourself that all, like, they want to come to Philly. They want to play in Philly. And I think I should be the person to bring people like you into Philly. You know what I mean?
Well, dude, that's, like, the key. And then hooking up with artists that, you know, obviously, like, they have people sometimes that are working or just talking to the artists themselves and going, well, it's happening, and you're getting airplay, and we're doing shows, so let's make it
right.
happen. And then it's just a matter of me getting my butt down there, which is no problem. And I got wheels.
Right.
And I, you know, I can couch surf or do whatever it takes to do what I need to do. But that's a smart idea, man, because there's not a lot of people doing it or going to those venues when those artists come to town and actually doing a live show from there. Like
right.
a simulcast almost.
Right.
That, man, a lot of people aren't doing that either.
Yeah, so that's what I'm, as a matter of fact, I just I reached out to, there's this one club right in my immediate area that from pictures looks like a great place, great stage, and a great room, but I'm just waiting to hear back and maybe get something hooked up. I have a couple other places I'm thinking of, but yeah, that's what I'm looking to hopefully start doing very soon.
And then you become like the hub, the godfather of that area for bringing people in and out. I mean, that's the way it always happens in the past, and it's because people get headstrong about, wait a minute, man, look at all this stuff going on, and nobody's, like, in a weird way, not capitalizing off of it, but, yeah, you know, showing it to people and bringing it in and making it happen. That's how all the New York things got set up and stuff, and any of the shows, the triple or five-day shows that I do happen, it's all because of one person. And going, hey, look, you know,
right.
you're getting radio play at a university or a college. You're also doing this little festival, so why not put him in a living room concert? And at the same time, now there's a club date here because I'm bringing acts in. When I was down in Austin, there's this one club there, the Canadian Club. Their sole purpose is to bring in acts from Canada. And it's like kind of made
wow.
them that one thing on the strip that's like, well, let's go check out the Canadian bar. Let's see who the acts are, right?
That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. I hope to get this. As soon as I get that stuff rolling, I'll definitely let you know.
Let me know, man. I'd jump at the opportunity, bud.
Cool. So, and I also saw you also recently in Jamaica as well.
Yeah, man, you know, Jamaica, like, it's one of those places that seems mystical when you go there. It's not just about, you know, the swim-up bars and, you know, all-day jerk chicken and pina coladas. I mean, outside the walls, the real culture is happening. That's, you know, a thriving, earthy, organic, you know, and in some cases, you have to be careful where you go and what you do, but a beautiful culture of people, musically inclined, athletically inclined. They're so active, and I get reinvigorated being there. But, you know, the thing is that because we don't go to resorts, we kind of live in the jungle in a little cabin, and our friends and some of our now family, because we're godparents to a child there, they come, hang out, we cook, we play music together, and we go all over the island, and I see things and do things that most people don't get a chance to do because they're either afraid or they have to pay out of the rear end for it. But what I saw was that, you know, man, they work so hard a lot of the time, but they don't, you know, can never get ahead. The cost of living in some ways, if you went to a supermarket, you know, you go, man, that's almost the same price as at home. And if you're only getting paid $135 American every 2 weeks, it's pretty hard to get ahead. So, you know, and not only that, they may have a cell phone that, you know, puts them into the 21st century, and it's like, okay, we have contact to the world, but they may not have running water every day or electricity or a
wow.
toilet seat. So we go and we pack shipping barrels of things that we collect from family, friends, neighbors. We go to the dollar stores on the days that, you know, 5 bars of soap is a dollar, and shampoo, toothpaste, all the things that we, you know, and even things for the kids for school, pencils, paper, books, writing books, all that stuff is so needed, and they just don't always have the money for it. And, you know, it's not part of any organization. We just ship it down to a friend of ours, Mr. James, who runs the African Zionist Church there. It's a little tiny church, hole-in-the-wall place, but he supports his community. He's always trying to help them somehow. Clothe them, make sure they have water, make sure they have food. It's not one of those organizations that's just like a money builder, right? And with that,
right.
our friends all come. That becomes the hub. The barrels get open. Everything becomes distributed, and everybody gets a little bit of something. And I guess it's become that kind of mantra for the idea behind the project and the Jamaica tune and everything that it was just to sort of get people aware to the idea that, look, man, there are people struggling. The people that are serving you drinks every day and shining your shoes and everything like that, they need a helping hand. And it's not just in Jamaica, man. It's happening everywhere. I traveled enough across the U.S. and Canada in the last 3 years to go, man, there's a lot of people struggling. There's a lot of people going through a lot of crazy stuff. The borders don't separate what that is, you know. And even getting involved with the Vets Association and Heart Songs with Jill Pavel, it was like, it was a no-brainer for me. And people are like, well, why are you getting involved with the U.S. military and trying to help vets? I'm like, because they're people. They're getting the short end of the stick. And just because they didn't have the same life experience you did doesn't mean that they're not human beings and they need help. And they like look at me like I'm crazy or something, right? But I don't care because, it translates. It's the same like idea that you, if you're giving back in some way, your life becomes even more fruitful than you know.
Absolutely. That's pretty awesome you're doing that stuff.
I got to. I have to. I'm here on my last mission, man. I'm an old soul. This is one of my last times around before complete epiphany. That's the way I look at it.
Oh, boy. So, you know, I had an epiphany, too. Like, going to your bio, you're a top 100 MTV.com artist. Like, do they even still recognize music? I'm a little confused and surprised by this.
Who, MTV, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know because, you know what, that's the thing, eh? It's like you and I are old enough to have seen a change in the industry and how people react and interact with it. And, you know, some incredible musicians live on your doorsteps. You know, the thing is that culture has to be kept alive by art, all forms of self-expression, even if in the end you're not making millions of dollars from it like the rock stars or musicians of yesteryear. The important thing is that they're documentations of things that we do in our lives. I'm always like amazed, like if I'm like watching an archaeological show, and I used to love archaeology, I wanted to be an archaeologist at one time. They always go to these, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000-year-old locations, dig in the dirt, and what do they find? Mm-hmm. Pottery shards, little descriptions and artistic pieces of daily life, things that people were talking about, and so much of that will tell them everything they need to know about that culture. And I am always reminding myself of that and telling other people, and I think that's, I feel more or less like lucky right now at the moment that I live, and people are like, "What the hell are you talking about?" Because it's like music has changed so much. But I feel like I'm a warrior, you know, and I'm fighting not just like a fight against something terrible, but fighting every day for myself, for my friends, my people, my family, whatever it might be. That's what music gives me. It always has given me a vehicle, like you said, man. I've met so many great people in this business, and I've talked to. My life has become so fruitful because of that and talking to people. This morning on Rogers TV, I'm like, there's a kid smiling because she's getting one of my discs. I mean, it made my day. And same thing if the announcer thinks what I'm doing or what. All of that translates somehow in the end because, man, the material aspect to our existence means nothing. What was it? Glenn Frey said, what? The only difference between your pile of crap and my pile of crap is mine's bigger.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Wow. So, and you're also you're number one artist at Reverb Nation. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, Reverb is great for that. I mean, they're such a good jump point for so many independents, and they're very helpful on that level. And it's good to have that recognition. Even like people have been telling me, wow, you've been winning awards and getting nominations and. And I'm happy, you know, like even this year with the last record, 7 pre-Grammy nominations is like a huge accomplishment. But at the same time, that's if great. I got it, if I was getting the award or if I was, that's good. But I'm always reminding myself that that's not it. Practicing my craft and being able to play is my hook, line, and sinker. It's like, even if, like, you know, like I said, not even making it money from it, even if I wasn't, like, an artist and I wasn't number one or I wasn't on MTV or any of that stuff, regardless, I'm always writing because I have to. It's out of necessity, you know, and it, for me, it's like always cathartically releasing some kind of level of platitude or gratitude or happiness or anxiety or anger or comedy or levity, and because to me, I'm writing those songs first and foremost for myself. They're
right.
They're my way and my vehicle for. So if they translate for me in some way, and you're a human and I'm a human, there's some connection point between how you listen to it and how I play it, or how you interact with it. And so to me, it's like it's religious. Like, I mean, it's the way I live my life, and I can't. I wouldn't have it any other way.
Now, are you the type of writer that will, like, block out time each day? Like, all right, I'm going to sit and just write. Like, this is my time to focus on writing music. Or is it when it comes to you naturally?
I hate schedule. I won't pick up an instruction manual if it paid me. Not until the end will I pick up the instruction manual. For me, it's like guttural reactionary. I read something, I react. I see something, I react. I watch something, I react. I hear something, I react. I never know when that moment is going to kick off in me. It could be in a car, bathtub, on my porch, out in the field, out in the garden. It doesn't matter where it is, but I have to act on it then. So for me, it's like pulling the car over, or like if I'm in the bathtub, I'm writing on the wall with soap, you know, like trying to remember what I'm doing. And then follow that kinetically as you leave that point and grab the book, grab your pen, start scribbling, and it's starting to put things together. But then again, you know, you could be just sitting around fiddling with an instrument, listening to what you're playing and working on, and then those imageries and images start coming to you, so you're scribbling at that moment. I never try to put some kind of a block on it and say this is the writing, because I feel like it becomes contrived and sterile. And some of the most amazing recording processes, writing processes, live processes I've had are when there hasn't been deliberation. So much, you got to write the tunes. You got to be proficient to be able to play what you're going to play. But stop thinking so much and let it start to happen. And before you know it, you're like, oh, I like where this is going. And then in a very short period of time, it starts pulling you through the process.
Yeah.
All you've done has become the catalyst for the idea, and then that's what becomes so exciting, because I'm running around, and then I'll grab the pen, and I'll start scribbling out like a phrase of something, and I'll put it down because I'm happy about what just came out, but then I walk away to grab my guitar, but then I throw the guitar down to come back because I just thought of something else. So all of that is ping-ponging continually till you get to that point where you're like, oh, this is what it was trying to say, you know?
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm like kind of like the same way. Like, I don't know how people can just like sit there every day like on a schedule and sit and write. Like I like how you were saying, like, to just let it, don't think about it, just let it flow, let it come out. Like, I mean, that's truly like from the heart. That's truly more meaningful, I think, than sitting there and like just put a pen to paper or whatever on a schedule. It seems too just forced to me.
Well, yeah, and then in a way, then, you know, everything, like you said, it flows. It's not, you know, there's method to certain things, or, you know, you might be thinking about structure about something for a period of time or a certain little grouping of words that then leads you, but that's the other thing about it, is that if it comes like that through that earnest sort of behavior, it then for you as a performer, because people will say to me, Ed, how can you play that song so many times over and over? Because it came from that place that you just so eloquently put, it came from that spot of honesty. And for me, then, relaying it again is not such a cumbersome thing. Like, I mean, sure, man, maybe when I'm 70, like, you know, Keith Richards and I played Satisfaction thousands of times, I may not want to do it so much. But the reality of it is that it still has that appeal to me, because I got excited when I wrote it, and I'm still excited to play it, you know?
Cool. Now, how about the new album? The new album is out, it was released the other day, a couple days ago. It's called Red Omen. Now, when I first heard the title, like, I instantly said to myself, like, is Ed going in, like, a dark, evil way right now? Like, that's what I was feeling or thinking when I heard the title of the new album. So what does Red Omen mean?
You see, that's the beauty of it. Man, great. I'm so glad that you said it like that, because it can mean that to you and to others. That color could mean something positive. The album is filled with concepts of duality. There, we had the choice between dark and light, the good side of the force, let's say, and the dark side of the force, the dark wolf or the light wolf in your heart, the yin and the yang principle, all of those basic metaphors that give you the choice of free will, and then being able to say, well, what is it? Now, red in nature is a color that is an attraction color. It is a certain thing that you know, hey, man, that berry is cool to eat because it's red. And at the same time, that color is also a warning color in nature. It means, hey, don't eat that because it's poisonous. Or certain animals are colored with those bright colors so that other animals think it is poisonous and they stay away from them because that's their defense mechanism. But ultimately, that color red is a frequency. How does it affect you? Is it a stop sign or is it a rose? Is it, you know, blood pouring from somebody's arm or is it, you know, a heart? You know, beating in a positive way. And Omen is the same thing. People think Omen, the Damien Omen 3, the movie, right? That stigmata on that word is already there. But to me, I grew up with omens being, I see it as a good omen. You know, a bird came down, it dropped a clover leaf at my feet, chirped three times and then left. I see it as a good omen. And then the other thing is like, well, an omen, yeah, it could be bad. You know, the lightning is coming, and all of a sudden there's a glowing child walking down the road. I see this as a bad omen. So ultimately, there's so many things in our lives, in our language, that have duality. And people, and even sometimes we use words and we don't even know what they mean. Like I'll say to somebody, what does the word mortgage mean? And invariably, people will go, well, that means you get a loan from the bank so you can buy your house or do what you need to do. Yes, that's true, but what does the word mean? Break it down, right? And for me, I'm always learning what words mean, too. Morta, mort is death, and gauge is grip, to gauge something, to grip it, to grasp it. We use that word to gauge that premise when we use that in our language. You put those two together and you have death grip. So we use that word and think, well, yes, it's a money loan, but the bank has a death grip on you. That's what that means.
I think it means, yeah, I'm broke. So, yeah, death grip on my wallet.
I think it means I'm broke.
Beautiful.
You'll be singing Ernie Tennessee Ford songs pretty soon, you know. I own my soul to the company store. But, you know, or like, look at the Sobeys. You know, it's a major grocery chain. Well, you take both of the S's off, and you have the word obey right in the middle of it, right? Like, you know,
right.
Subconsciously, there are so many things that maybe we act on and we don't even know. I mentioned before, red is a frequency. Well, when Johnny's of the age of 4 or 5, he gets the red fire truck at Christmas. Well, you know, by the time he's of that age to maybe go out and maybe buy something because he's at high school, well, those fast food restaurants and joints that are like that, they all use red in their advertising. And it promotes quickness, speed. You know, it's in all those logos. That's why fine dining restaurants even use beiges and browns. It prolongs that experience. And then when they're out of high school and they're at the college, university age, well, most of the beer and cigarettes and things, all that packaging is all reds and blues and those vibrant high-speed colors. So we don't even know that we're acting sometimes on those impulses and why we even like them. But that's what the album is talking about. It's talking about all those kinds of choices that we have. It's lamenting things even from the past, like Wolfman Jack. It's, you know, I want to bring the Wolfman back, that beautiful pirate in a radio station playing music that he shouldn't have. You know, that's good. We need to have that kind of dissonance in our society. And at the same time, our language is changing. It's becoming emoticon. It's becoming acronym-like. Instead of saying a whole sentence, we just use, you know, LOL or laugh me out loud, right? All of those kinds of things are now full statements without you actually having to say it. You open your smartphone, it's filled with those emoticons, those iconographical symbols that when you hit that button and open Facebook or whatever it is, it's computing millions and millions of bits of information for you to be able to communicate from where you are right now to somebody in Singapore. Like, and that's incredible to think that we've come so fast in such a short period of time. The omen is red. You know, is it a worry? Do we grasp it? Do we go further towards it? Is it something that is positive? How much of it do we obtain? How much do we hold on to? It's always asking that question as you move through the record.
You know, you mentioned one thing in there and that really jumped out at me, and it was actually one of my questions. And you mentioned Wolfman Jack, and you have a song on the new album called I Wish the Wolfman Was Back. And I was going to say, was it about Wolfman Jack?
Yes, baby. I loved the Wolfman as a kid. And I grew up in the 70s when he was still doing his thing. And you know, he was in movies and all sorts of stuff that I saw when I was growing up. And I thought, man, what a cool time frame. That Alan Freed, you know, pirate radio station, or the guys, once again, that weren't afraid to put it out there. And make it happen. You know, he was living in these little ham radio shacks, going from place to place. Nobody knew where he was. He was playing quote unquote race music. You know, so like that's how really rock and roll was born, was because of people like the Wolfman, Madman Cusso. All those guys took those steps to be the crazy, wild people that they were. I mean, even in the classic Spielberg film American Graffiti, and he's in that. When Richard Dreyfuss' character goes to try to, like, make a request for the girl that's in the T-Bird, you know, Wolfman is pretending that he's not the Wolfman. He's only being
right.
The radio disc jockey putting the tapes in. But when Dreyfuss goes to leave, he turns around and sees that it is actually the Wolfman. So, like, even then, that part of the movie is illustrating that aspect of what the DJ represented. And that you could talk to them, call them, they'd spin tunes, they'd talk to you. All of that kind of stuff is like, well, wait, like we were saying at the beginning of the interview, what happened to the industry? A big part of it is because
right.
of people.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I love the guy, man. He was hip. He was hip, man.
He totally was. He totally was. He was definitely a true icon. And yeah, I mean, just like you growing up in the 70s, he was always, you know, part of something, and you always knew the Wolfman and that voice and that beard and that the hair. You just always knew him, the gold chain.
Yeah, and I don't know, did you ever catch any of that stuff that came out of Canada, The Haunted House of Frightenstein with Billy Van?
No.
Vincent Price was a guest on the show, and he actually created a character that was called the Wolfman, and he actually looked like Lon Chaney, you know, as the Wolfman, but he was totally, like, in the dungeon running the radio station, and they would, like, spin Jumpin' Jack Flash, and they'd have the psychedelic colors, and they'd be dancing behind. And this was a kid's show, but they had amalgamed the whole monster movie thing tied into this sort of kid's program, right? And that's, the you know, that's how far he transcended into other people's material. So, you know, I couldn't help but write a tune dedicated to him.
That's awesome. I'm glad you did. That's totally awesome. So the first single is called I Am Love, and that's not a, like I was saying, how it sounded evil, like Red Omen sounded evil to me. That first single just, like, does not sound evil at all.
No. Hey, man, it came from a dark place. It came from a, you know, as humans, we're all going through some emotional bell curve. Through family experiences, stuff that we have to live with every day, difficulties that we face, you know, and we get into funks. And I was, once again, in the mystical bathtub looking for that thing to pull me out of my grease. And that four-letter word, you know, that we all wield every day popped up and it said to me, you know what, man? I'm a messenger, love said. Love said. And it said, and love said that I'm a radical, and it's actually radical and to love in a completely different way than we are normally accustomed to just wielding the word. To love your enemy, to pacifistically approach aggression is one of the hardest things to do, but when you do it, all of a sudden, there's a completely newfound understanding to what human power and emotion is about. People like Mahatma Gandhi fought the British Empire because of a passive revolution. It had nothing to do with sticks, bats, guns, lit torches, or anything like that. They just did it, despite that the British Empire said, you're not gonna collect salt. And Gandhi's like, yes, we are. We've been collecting it for thousands of years, and we're going to keep on doing it. And I think that's the same metaphor. It's not that it has to be this rebellious action, but every day, like the Jamaica effect, that can translate in so many simple ways, even with strangers that you don't even know. You know, and I've heard this before from other people, like when you're having the worst possible day that you could be having, when the fit is hitting the shan, go out and do 3 random acts of kindness to people that you don't even know. And all of a sudden, your entire day will change. And I guess that's what the metaphor and the mantra is saying. In the bridge, it says, you know, I only hope that blood, sweat, and toil catches up with us all. The scars you get each day make you stronger somehow in some way. Look for your own truth in your heart when it's bold. It may sound like a coda, but I learned it from my Baba. It's not what you believe, it's what you do. People believe so many things, but at the same time, they turn a blind eye to people that really need the help. Because dogma stops, you know, reason from actually occurring, from actually happening. So I guess that's what I mean by redefining what love is. And it's a courageous, messenger-like, radical-like step to do that. Hey, man, next time you see people that are ready to point guns at one another, go stick a flower in the barrel of the gun, see what happens.
Ed, hang on 1 second. I'm sorry.
You put the back of the that's the one only thing wrong. What do they need?
I think it's the actual...
Kick it out. See if you like it and go from there.
Sorry about that. Actually, working in the middle of all this.
So it's okay.
Okay, I'm back.
Cool.
So I'll tell you what. I'm going to be playing that song, but I also, too, I got to play the Wolfman Jack song as well.
Oh, do it, baby. People love that tune.
So how about the rest of the year now? Any immediate plans set up? Promoting the album right now, or?
Well, yeah, that and a huge PR campaign, and I'm in the process of starting to shoot a video for that first single, I Am Love. There'll be about 5 or 6 different videos that accompany the music from the record, and as I said, there's already things in the works for a tour for the late summer and definitely for the fall, just because, you know, that's how this stuff kind of works. You play, promote, and then get a bunch of gigs and go and do it, so... You know,
right.
I'm just, like I said before, happy to keep playing and working, man.
I hear you. Hey, and you know, until I just saw Xander Demos play the guitar solo on the album as well.
Yeah, he's on Clone the Sheep. It's the punk metal tune that I wrote. And as soon as we finished it and I was like, the band was kind of rehearsing it, I was like, you know, Chris Taggart's a great guitar player. He's an unbelievable player. But for some reason, I've been watching Xander from afar, you know, and we were MTS family and everything. But, man, the shredding that he does is, like, so incredible, and it's perfect for that tune. And I thought, wow, cross-reference, again, it's kind of my mantra anyway. And he was happy to do it, and I was like, dude, man, I love what you did. It's perfect.
That's awesome. I got to check that out. Cool.
Yeah, man.
And this is always been a pleasure. Always enjoy talking to you.
You too, man. And I was excited to post it. I saw Stover had set it up. So it was like, man, we have really good chat. So, Philly, I'm going to get down there and we'll hook up.
Definitely. And I'm going to, I am working on that. And I'm hoping to have something in place by the end of the month to start possibly rolling out something July or August.
Awesome, man. Will you let me know when this is up so I can share the bejesus out of it?
I will. And you know what? It's going to be next Thursday night it'll be played.
Awesome. Perfect.
All right.
Thank you, sir. Have yourself a wonderful day, and I appreciate the interview, man.
You too, Ed. Thank you so much, man.
Stay tight, Philly.
You got it. Bye.
Search of meaning, I'll utilize my soul to be a messenger, to be a radical, to be love. Be a messenger, be a radical, be love. Falling from the matrix, why is what can set you free? And if you look behind the curtain and then into the mirror, then I think you'll see. Be a messenger, be a radical, be love. Be a messenger, be a radical. Up with us all. The scars that you get each day make you stronger somehow in some way. Look for your own truth in your heart when it's cold. You know, it may seem like a coda, but I learned it from my baba. It's not what you believe, it's what you do.
It's what you do.
It's what you do. What you doing now? Of an inch, and loving all is one. You're supposed to be a cinch. Be a messenger, be a radical, be love. Be it, be it. Be a messenger, be a radical.
Vibration. Howl out another salutation. For-
Radio Bay Ragging here, and you just heard my good friend from the Great White North, Mr. Ed Roman, and I had to play a couple songs. I love Ed. He's such a good dude. But I played the first single, which is the first song I played. It's called I Am Love. And then also, since we were talking about it, we had to play it. Mr. Wolfman Jack himself. The song's called I Wish the Wolfman Was Back. Great stuff. So check it out. The new album's out there, like I said, Red Omen. Go get it. And tell Ed you're totally driven. All right, another commercial break. Be back in less than 3 minutes. And we're going to be turning it up with Mr. Heavy Metal, Rick Savage. And as he would say, boom, baby.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Hey everybody, this is Nick Wilkinson from TV Nation and Totally Driven Radio and Entertainment. Sadly, each year, approximately 3.6 million children become victims of child abuse. My latest ebook, Child Abuse, The Ripple Effect, explores the long-lasting effects abuse can have on victims. Explore life after the abuse ends and how we cope with the tragedies of the past. Child Abuse, The Ripple Effect is available on Kindle for only 99 cents. And don't forget to check out my website, actingnotreacting.com, a common sense approach to teens in crisis. Let's work together and make this world a better place. And remember, stay driven.
Are you a fan of Sherlock Holmes? Letters from Holmes offers unique, one-of-a-kind letters from the world-famous detective himself. Handwritten on 8.5-inch by 11-inch aged parchment paper and using smudge-free ink to produce original, high-quality letters that fans will treasure for years to come. Each letter is handcrafted and written from the perspective of Sherlock Holmes, mimicking Holmes's native tongue and embracing many of the famous detective's quirks, quips, insults, and peculiarities. Order a love letter, birthday greeting, personal correspondence, or more only at www.etsy.com/shop/lettersfromholmes.
Are you looking for a mortgage for that new home? Do you want to refinance to a lower rate, obtain cash out, or consolidation? If so, call Anthony Muscarella of Advisors Mortgage Group. Advisors Mortgage Group is a mortgage banker and loan our own money to first lien mortgage loans. We have built a platform for a seamless and stress-free mortgage process, which remains our number one goal for all of our customers. We understand that success cannot be obtained without teamwork and communication, two of our most important strengths. If you're looking to apply for a loan or simply have some questions, please don't hesitate to give Anthony Muscarella a call at 732-749-3333, extension 12, who, by the way, has been recognized by Mortgage Executive Magazine as being one of the top 1% of originators in America. That number again, call Anthony Muscarella at 732-749-3333, extension 12, where we tailor our loans to meet your needs. Advisors Mortgage Group is an equal housing opportunity lender licensed by the New Jersey Department of Banking and Insurance. Branch NMLS number 173453. Loan officer NMLS number 111400.
All right, welcome back. Tozer Radio, Bay Ragging here, and it's time to get driven with Mr. Heavy Metal Rick Savage. Here he is.
Hello.
Hi, Rick Savage.
This is Rick.
Finally. We finally got this going.
You finally got through, man. Yeah, sorry. I was kind of, it's just been an answer, but.
It's all good. Man. It's all good.
Cool.
So, all right, so here we go. Rick Savage. The story of Rick Savage seems to be a long and winding road, my friend. Wrestler, reality star.
American digger, rocker. You have many hats that you wear.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm the kind of person that if there's something I want to do, I just do it, you know? That's how I ended up with a radio show. That's how I ended up wrestling. That's how I ended up with a music single. It's just, you know, if I want to do it, I do it. You know, I'm an American, man, and that's what we do. Whenever something needs to get done, we just put our heads down, we go out there and make it happen, and that's why we're the greatest country in the world.
You know, that's not only is it true, but, I mean, it's pretty inspirational because, I mean, not everybody gets to pull it off. And you've been, like you said, you put your head down and you do it. So, I mean, how do you make these things happen?
Now, the radio show happens, you know, I do a radio show with Eric Turner of Warrant called the Savage Turner Rock Express. That happened. I was at a radio station doing a promo for a wrestling show I was a part of that was raising money for the Special Olympics, and the owner of the station was there, and I said, hey, you ever thought about doing a rock radio show? He said, no. And I said, well, would you like to? And next thing you know, I'm doing a show and been doing it for 2 years. You know, wrestling, I wanted to be a professional wrestler. And, you know, somebody came to me and said, hey, I know a guy that's training people. Would you be interested? Bam, I did it. And the music single, Ted Poley from Danger Danger, and I did a private gig together. And he heard me karaoke Born to Be Wild in my wrestling voice. And Ted came up to me and said, we ought to record that. And the next thing you know, we did. So it's, I won't say it's all me. There's always somebody else around there usually helping me out. But, yeah, I'm just, you know, life is short. You know, as far as I know, we only get one life. And I don't want to spend,
right.
I don't want to be 75 years old sitting around talking about all the stuff I should have done, wished I'd have done. Boy, if I'd have just done that. Man, if I'd have just called it. I want to look back and say, there's nothing that I haven't done that I wanted to do or at least try.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm kind of the same way, but, like, I used to be a pro wrestler myself.
Oh, no kidding. And, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and I don't know if I might have met you back in the day because you did a little stint in ECW, and I was in ECW as one of the original Dudleys in 95 and 96. So
what was your, which Dudley, which Dudley were you?
I was Chubby Dudley.
I was in ECW. I was actually there the night that they put Sandman up on the cross when he wrestled Raven.
You know what? I might have left before that.
Yeah, the only Dudleys that were there that I remember was Dick Dudley, God rest his soul, Bubba, and Devon.
Yeah.
And Dick was on crutches with a knee injury.
Right. Huh. I've taken a lot of chair shots, so I can't remember if I was there or not.
Yeah, I was, they called me, one of the pit bulls was out with a broken neck, and I was Shane Douglas's bounty hunter, and they had me going after Ant, the other pit bull. God rest his soul.
So, you know what? I had to be there. I had to be there. I'll have to look up, but I'm pretty sure I was there then. Because I was there during that whole big feud with Gary and Anthony and Shane.
Yeah, it was, I mean, I remember Brian Lee did a big match where it was like a scaffold match, but the ring was filled with tables. I was there that
right.
night. You know, when I was in ECW, I hung with Kid Cash and I actually came up there together.
Okay.
And we hung with, like, Sabu and Luis Piccoli, God rest his soul. Ooh, I say that a lot.
Yeah.
And Robbie Van Dam. So.
Through dates of stuff and say. But I'm pretty sure I was there. That's interesting. It's crazy. So, and you know what, too? I saw you were up here in the PA area this past weekend.
Yeah, I do a lot. I have a a show I do in Gettysburg. It's a haunted historical ghost walk tour. It's like the only show I do that's really all mine, that it's more of just a labor of love than it is for anything else, because I just enjoy history so much. And I do that a few times a year, so I was up there doing that, and then I was booked to MC a Stony Fest 2016 in Easton, PA, which is raising money for a homeless shelter for veterans. So any kind of, I'm a veteran, so anything I can ever do for vets, I'm there.
Cool. Very cool. Wow. Look at you. Now, do you get up to PA here a lot? I think I saw like a lot of times you're at Gettysburg doing your digging, which you had the show a bit.
Yeah, I get up to Pennsylvania. Gettysburg is like a second hometown. I get up there a lot. I do a little show in Boyertown, PA, another one of my haunted tour shows. I do one there. And I do events. You know, I do events anywhere, you know, Pennsylvania, Maryland, Delaware, wherever. So, yeah, anytime anybody ever wants to book me, you know, to MC or appear at an event. So I end up all over the place.
Damn. Now, how about the TV show? Like, how did that all come about? Like, I'm assuming, like, I mean, to do that stuff, you had to be, like, really, like, studying American history and things like that for years to know your stuff like that.
I have been a history buff since I was 9 years old. That's when I picked up my first book about General Robert E. Lee. That's what hooked me, and I have been just, I've read every book. I've been to every battlefield I could, talked to every author, historian, been to every, you know, historical roundtable that I could to learn more about it. So American Civil War is kind of a passion of mine. I was an artifact dealer and collector along with the show in which, you know, we were finding artifacts and the whole purpose of that show really was to try to get people interested in history again. It's right. Amazing how historically ignorant our population is. And we figured if we could put some candy around the medicine, you know, and show them the treasure hunting part, which everybody's into, you know, that mm-hmm. we could sneak the history in on the backside and maybe, you know, people would like it. And get more interested, and it worked. You know, we had a lot of people, we've had a lot of good response to that.
Now, minus the TV show part of it, like doing that, can you actually make a living doing that, like looking, like digging up artifacts?
It's hard. Yes, you can, but it's very, very difficult. The problem becomes, you know, for every place that you find stuff, you're going to have five places that don't. And then you have the expenses
right.
incurred in those five places where you found nothing. So can you do it? Yes. Is it a lucrative living in the grand scheme of things? No. You know, I was lucky to be able to, you know, parlay my wrestling name into it, which kind of helps out with people. You know, if you're a total stranger showing up on their door, sometimes it doesn't work as well, but at least, you know, Rick Savage, a lot of people had remembered me from wrestling, and that kind of helped me out.
Right. Wow, that's awesome. Now, are you still doing it now, or is it something you don't have time for? Or?
I still dig when I can. You know, my schedule after, you know, two seasons on the show, because the show went worldwide, so we've been pretty busy, you know, doing appearances and other kinds of gigs, traveling. You know, I'm on the road probably close to 300 days a year again. So, you know, I dig when I can. It's kind of like we dig when we can, but that's not my main thing right now. I'm back kind of as an entertainer, and I say that because that encapsulates everything, because I do a little bit of all of it.
Yeah, you do. So the music, you came out with your version of Born to Be Wild. You got, like, Ted Poley behind it with you. You have, like, this all-star band with you in the video. I mean, how did that – you said with Ted Poley was the man behind it all.
But did you expect something like that really to come to fruition?
No, you know, Ted and I were doing a private gig in Altoona, PA, on the 4th of July. And part of the gig was, you know, after Ted did his regular set, people still wanted to hear music. And, of course, Ted's like, why don't we do some karaoke? Let you guys sing, you know? So nobody wanted to be first, so I said, I'll do Born to Be Wild if they can play it. And, of course, they could. So I got up there and did it and used my wrestling voice. And Ted pulls up to me and he says, dude, that was actually pretty good. He said, we ought to record that. I'm like, yeah, that'd be great. And I'm thinking, he'll sober up eventually and he'll forget all about this. He calls me a day or two later and is like, I just talked to Steve Brown from Trickster. He said, Steve wants us to come up to his studio and lay down this track. So then I went up to Jersey, went to Steve's. We laid it down. Maz, Ted's guitar player, had done all the guitars on the original, and it sounded good. And I sent it to Carmine. If Carmine does a segment on my radio show, and I sent it to Carmine, okay. I said, you know, just almost as a goof, I'm like, hey, I'm joining your world now, kind of a thing, just kind of messing with him. And he sends me back a reply. He says, I want to talk to my partner about our label releasing this. Now I'm sitting there going, wait a minute, this is turning into a real thing. So Rocker Records, Carmine's label, agreed to release it. The next thing you know, I'm in the studio, you know, we're cutting, there's Carmine doing the drums, you know, the bass track on the actual track was done by Tony Franklin, the Fretless Monster from Whitesnake and the Firm. And then Greg Smith did it in the video from Ted Nugent. And then Steve Brown from Trickster's involved in it. You had, let's see, who else? God, we had a bunch. Mike Orlando from Adrenaline Mob did the most ridiculous two solos that I've ever heard in my life on the song. Made the whole
He's
song.
He's freaking
really
awesome.
Did. I mean, those solos made that song. It just, without that, it wouldn't have been the same. So, yeah, it turned it into a real project. And Carmine, we shot a video up with my friend Tom Merlin at TKL Marketing up in Hohokus, New Jersey. And Rocker released it. And so far, at least from the responses I've gotten, people have liked it. They thought, you know, it was a pretty good attempt at a hard version of Born.
That's awesome. Now, have you been, like, bitten with the music bug? Are you going to do any more or possible, like, put an album together or?
You know, I ran into Kenny Olson, used to be the guitar player for Kid Rock for 11 years, and he and I have a mutual friend, DJ Hurricane of the Beastie Boys. So, yeah, I'm actually in the process of collaborating on an original song with Kenny. So, but am I a musician? I mean, you've heard my voice. I'm not exactly singing like a bird, if you will, unless a buzzard was in your mind. I'm not. But did I get bitten by the bug? Absolutely, man. My dream since I was a little kid was to be a rock star. So just being able to make that single and video was a bucket list thing for me that I feel just blessed beyond all belief to have been able to do.
That's awesome. That's good stuff, man.
So where can everybody get the single?
Anywhere you download music, you can get the single. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it on iTunes. You can get it on Spotify. Pretty much anywhere on earth that music is available, that song's available. And you can also get the video, which is on YouTube. It's called Rick Savage Is Born to Be Wild. And there's a bunch of live videos under that as well of me doing shows where I've been on stage with Ted Poley and his solo band, where they were nice enough to let me come up and do Born with them.
Nice. Very cool. So what do you have, like, planned for the immediate future for yourself?
Well, I've got a new television project that I'm working on. I was in L.A. a couple of weeks ago. I shot the pilot for a new show. I'm not allowed to say what it's really, what network it's going to be on, but it's kind of a ridiculousness type format. And I will be hosting that. If the show gets picked up, which I'm expecting it to, then we should be shooting by the end of the summer and hopefully back on TV by December.
Nice. Very cool. Yeah, I mean, you're definitely, I mean, you have that TV persona, charisma, you know what I mean? Like, you need to be on TV, dude.
I love, you know, TV is great. The only thing I don't like about doing TV the way I do it is there's no live audience. And I'm,
right.
As a professional wrestler, you know the deal, man. Come on. What high on earth beats walking out into the ECW arena or any arena and the crowd pops? I mean, there's nothing in this world
that can
replace a live audience. So shooting a TV show is awesome. I love it. But I miss having that interaction with the crowd, you know, because when you're doing TV, you don't know if something bombs or not because there's nobody there. Remember at ECW, if you bomb something, the audience let you know, you know.
Right. This is true. Wow.
Yeah, they were merciless, man. You suck.
Yeah, they were.
You suck. Go home. Don't come back. They were awesome.
They changed the world of wrestling now.
Hell yeah, they did. That was an era, man. That whole attitude era in WWE, the ECW, that was kind of like, it was like the hippie movement of the 60s. It was a feeling. Which I don't think you could ever recapture that.
Nah, I don't either. I totally agree. It was definitely a special time, and I'm quite happy to have been, you know, get a little bit part of that.
I feel so blessed to have been a part of so many things, including my short time with ECW, just to be able to say I was a part of something that was that freaking cool.
Yeah, man. Cool. So now how about, like, I guess you do, like, a lot of appearances and stuff like that. You know, I might even talk to you because maybe bring you up to the – there's going to be some shows, like wrestling shows and stuff doing – signing shows and stuff like that. Maybe we'll have to talk.
Too, man. I'm always looking for bookings, you know, anywhere. Obviously, like everybody else, I've got merch, you know, pictures to sell, all that kind of stuff. So I'm always looking for new gigs.
Cool. And how about, where can everybody find you, get hold of you, track you down, and see where you're going to be?
All they got to do, my Facebook, I'm verified with the blue check mark because there was like 3 or 4 people that took my name and were taking all my pictures. It's Heavy Metal Rick Savage, and that's Rick with no K, or you'll get Sav from Def Leppard. And then there's Official Rick Savage on Instagram, Off Rick Savage on Twitter, and Real Rick Savage on Tumblr and Snapchat.
Nice. Yeah, you know, it was kind of funny. Like, when I was going through and, like, searching Google and stuff on you, and I'm going through, and one of the things that came up was, how much is Rick Savage worth? And I'm like, damn, this dude must have a lot of money. He's on this list. And it says, like, in the little brief description, like, worth $32 million. I'm like, holy shit. And I open it up, and here it was, Rick Savage from Def Leppard.
yeah, I was going to say wrong Rick. Yeah, if you put the K on Rick Savage, you're going to get Sav. But, yeah, I'm Rick. Definitely, if I was worth $32 million, brother, trust me, the whole world would know it.
That's too funny. Cool. So I guess before I let you go, just if you can cut an ID for me, and you got to throw one of them boom babies in there. This is Rick Savage, and you're listening to Totally Driven Radio.
I got you. Tell me when you're ready.
Go for it.
Hey, everybody. This is Heavy Metal Rick Savage, and you are listening to Totally Driven Radio. Don't turn it off. Boom, baby!
Nice. I love it. Cool. Rick, thanks so much. I'm glad we finally got this hooked up, man.
Yeah, brother, you got my number. If there's any event or anybody, you know, feel free to pass my number on to anybody. I'm not worried about crank calling and spam and shit. So if anybody ever wants to use me for anything, hook me up.
Sounds like a plan.
All right, brother, and send me those links, and I'll promote it for you.
I will, definitely.
All right, thanks, bro.
You're welcome, man. Take care.
Yep.
Bye. Bye. Heavy metal Rick Savage, my good friend, my new friend, and Totally Driven Fred. There you go. There he is. Make sure to check him out. Forget the single is out there now. So, that's tonight's show, baby. There it is. Totally Driven Radio. Another show in the books. Number episode number 84. Closing in on the big 200. Wonder what we're going to do for the 200th show. Who knows? You never know with us. But anyway, thanks everybody for tuning in. Don't forget, Totally Driven Entertainment and Totally Driven Radio. We are a multimedia platform, and we are driven to bringing you total entertainment. And we have a bunch of shows in our network. And my good friend and my normal co-host, when we're live, Mr. Nick Wilkinson, he's going to tell you all about it.
So here he is. Until next time, stay driven.
Are you ready to be totally driven? Totally Driven Entertainment Network has a full lineup of shows dedicated to total entertainment. Starting on Mondays, we have the always relevant and often hilarious Hard Talk with Big Daddy and Big Booty Trudy. That's at 6 p.m. And at 11 p.m., go 8 flights up and get your mind right. Tuesdays at noon, Pro Wrestling Now with Mike Ferreira covers professional wrestling news, rumors, and one-of-a-kind interviews with professional wrestling performers and insiders. At 8 p.m., join Smith Hart of the legendary Hart Family Dynasty for the Hart Grapevine as he goes behind the scenes and shares his knowledge of the professional wrestling industry and some truly remarkable special interviews, too. Welcome to Hump Day, Wednesdays, 9:30 a.m., the Coco and Wee Wee Show asks the age-old question, who do you love, who do you shove? And at 8 p.m., the Give No F's Cosplay Variety Hour brings you the best in cosplay, comics, video games, and more. Thursday nights at 5 p.m., Pro Wrestling Now with Mike Ferreira returns to the airwaves to cover professional wrestling news, results, and more. At 8 p.m., Totally Driven Radio, the show that started it all, brings you the best in topical conversations, celebrity interviews, exclusive musical guests, and so much more. Your Friday night would be incomplete without a trip to Uncle Shawnee's Playground. Join Uncle Shawnee at 8 p.m. and prepare to be offended, but, you know, in a good way. At 10 p.m., don't forget the LAW Retro Wrestling Hour, bringing back the golden age of professional wrestling. Saturday mornings at 10 a.m., the Mojo Sports Show starts your weekend off with a healthy dose of sports mojo. Get the latest news, scores, results, and more every Saturday morning. At 9 p.m., Totally Driven Radio rocks. Bay Ragney unleashes his inner beast as he takes you on a heavy metal journey and looks at the music he thinks rocks. That brings us to Sunday morning, the perfect time for a big weenie. At 10 a.m., the Big Weenie Castanini Show goes live around the world. And ending the week at 9 p.m. on Sunday nights. Join the TV Nation for your weekly dose of the Nerd Herd and talk all things comics, TV, movies, and pop culture. Remember, get driven, stay driven.